Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being the target of social justice warriors on social media.
Oh, dear.
Yes. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everyone.
On the show, how to spot fake news articles, comics in the news featuring social media outrage, drunks in the news featuring good news for men and their posse, and we found out Donald Trump will actually be writing the bulk of his inauguration speech. And through our crack investigative reporting, we've actually gotten our hands on some of what the speech will be like. So we're going to be sharing that tonight, a world premiere, so you can hear it first before you hear it at the inauguration. But Marist came out with their annual most annoying phrases of the year, and this was for 2016. The phrase that that annoys 38% of Americans is, whatever. does that annoy you?
It really depends the way it's delivered.
How about if I deliver it and flip my hair?
If you do that, flip your hair, you're chewing gum and you roll your eyes, I think I want to kill you.
Yeah, I think it's the roll of the eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's very dismissive.
Whatever.
Well, it's also if the situation is you're dealing with somebody you have an excuse. Let's say I'm running late to a gig. You're doing a gig. Look, there was a car. I was backed up for miles. I tried everything. Whatever. It kind of dismisses that your intent to get there.
It's very dismissive.
Yeah, it's very dismissive without even trying to understand the reasons why you were late. Even if you're showing compassion and you tried everything, whatever. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really? You don't think I wanted to get here on time? You know?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm I say it. Do you guys say it?
No, I don't think
Once
I
in
do.
A blue moon. Once in a blue moon.
I'm sure I've whatevered one of you guys. I'm sure something was supposed to get done, and I was like, oh, whatever. Maybe I didn't say it to you, but I certainly thought it.
No, in the 20 years, I think there's been something like whatever. You know,
yeah.
Like, really?
You know. I don't have time to yell at you. I have other people that are on my list.
That doesn't seem to be one of your phrases, though, one of your stock phrases. So I don't remember you whatevering me.
I'm sure
you did in your head.
Oh, yes. Oh. You have no idea.
I'm glad.
Yes, I'm such a good actor, you can't even see my eyes rolling.
No. I can see your eyes rolling on the phone, man.
It's Tuesday. I'm ill. Whatever.
All right. Yeah, get better. Whatever.
Feel better. Joe, bring the laptop. It's Tuesday.
I left it at home. I thought Pip would be in. Whatever.
I roll. Stuck there.
Oh, but Tuesday really is. I dread getting text messages on Tuesday because I dread it being Pip telling me she's sick. Like until 6:25 rolls around, then I'll start checking my texts again.
It's afraid.
20% are offended by no offense.
Like, oh, when you start something like, no offense, but...
No offense, but.
Yeah.
No offense, but. Because you know you're about to be offended.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that is
no
lame.
Offense, but you stink.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, it is pretty lame to start that way.
Yeah.
You know.
You're covering your bases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people were offended by, you know, right.
You know, right?
Oh, that.
I don't really... That doesn't seem to be like a phrase that I've heard a lot. Not that way. Like, if somebody says, I know, right? I'm not offended by that. That's just how we speak in this part of the
country.
You
know, right?
I know, right?
light came in with 20%.
When people use it every other, like, yeah.
So we had this show and, like, it was, like, totally great.
Oh, yes.
But I think I do, but I there it is. If we did a show and we said that a lot, it would be very irritating.
It would be. It's a verbal tic.
It is a verbal tic.
You have to listen to yourself and see if you're doing any of those like things.
Well, when I have to clean up portions of this show, I get to hear all the verbal tics.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
It's like, whatever. Stupid can't speak again.
It's the Tourette's slurring show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Look, yeah, there's certainly versions of this show that have a lot less ums than other versions of this show.
Yeah, I'm sure that between the stuttering, the umming, the slurring.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not pretty.
No, but we try to make it pretty.
Yes, we did. We glam it up as much as possible.
Well, let's see what else. Also, this is a new one. That only received 3%, but huge. I think that's a Trumpster one.
It huge. Is. Huge. I think they meant to say huge.
I think that was actually started by Paris Hilton. That was like a catchphrase that she would always use. Oh, it's huge.
I don't remember, but I didn't listen to what Paris said.
Are you talking
I wasn't
about
quite
on
the
that
debutante
tape?
You were.
It's not like I went to one of her seminars.
Really? You pack like you did.
Are you talking about on that infamous tape? It's huge.
Pack like you, I know.
I think it's because of Donald. I really do. And Bernie,
I do
used,
too.
Bernie used it a lot, too. Okay, you know, a phrase that I find annoying, it wasn't on the list. But Donald uses a lot too. Believe me, it's true.
Oh.
Believe me, it's because like it implies that like all the other stuff you were saying was complete crap. But this part is true.
Well, that's like when somebody says, "To be honest,
yeah."
Well, they're about to lie.
Yeah. Also, like, believe me, it's true implies that I only should trust you.
Right.
Like, don't trust anybody else. Believe me, it's true. I find that very annoying.
Don't research this because you can trust me.
Do you guys have any?
Redonkulous.
Oh, that's is that really a phrase? I think that's a word.
It's a redonkulous.
Yeah.
It's like, just say ridiculous. What is ridiculous? You know, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, we don't want to take that trip.
Yes.
I guess this isn't a phrase. It's more of a word, but I really am sick of canoodling. Ooh. I'm not sick of
that's
canoodling.
That's why Mr. Yellick sleeps on the couch. I'm sick of canoodling. Take your crap downstairs. And he's just like, whatever.
Grabbing the pillow and the blanket.
You
whatever.
Do realize, Miss Helix, this is huge, right?
I do realize, and I don't want to do that. No,
I do realize, and if you think it's huge, you're being redonkulous.
No, I don't. It's just a ridiculous word. It's so stupid for, people were spotted canoodling. I don't even know what that means. And it's just a dumb word for making out, you know? Making out is kind of stupid, too, if you think about it.
Okay. No affection for you. We get it.
No, I don't mean the action. I mean the words.
Right, right. God works in mysterious ways.
Ugh.
I hate that phrase. Does he? Does he really? You're just, what does that even mean? That means something really bad happened, and you're just trying to comfort yourself, and maybe somebody, it's awful.
You're trying to make it sound like God is not really, really nasty for doing that.
Well, it depends on the situation. I mean, if something happens, let's say the case of me, if I didn't get the sale of the house. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Maybe there'll be another buyer. If a cement mixer falls in a car and there's a hand sticking out, God works in mysterious
ways.
Yes, does he? Does he? Does he?
But they use it the same way.
Kind of.
Yeah, they use it the same. God.
But looking at the car. Yeah, no. He doesn't. He's a prick.
It was just his time. Was it?
Was it? That he was at a light minding his own business and a cement mixer flipped on him.
He was actually supposed to go next week, but we're early.
I'm just not a fan of God works in it's just a useless way to describe crappy things.
Yeah.
Well, here's something crappy that happened, but God works in mysterious ways. You know what? Maybe God's a little bit of a jerk. How about that? But I say things in mysterious ways, so try to figure out what I really meant.
God has a hard way of showing his feelings.
Yeah. No, he shows his feelings just fine. All right. When we come back, how to figure out what those fake news stories are. So we've been talking a lot about the fake news. We really hate misleading stuff.
Yes.
We really hate we hate people being scammed. We hate people being influenced by things that are false. So we found this article on the Huffington Post. It's a guidebook how to identify fake news. And I think if more people read this and looked at it, we'd be a better, more educated society.
Or you'd even have a much more enjoyable time on Facebook.
You really would. It would really dispel a lot of the arguments.
Yes.
And Snopes would probably go out of business.
Maybe.
Yes. So they give a couple of suggestions. Read past the headline. And they say that one way that fake news gets amplified is that busy readers may not look past the headline or opening paragraph before they decide to share an article. We've all seen that splashy article. Oh, I am sharing this. This proves my point.
Yeah, I know. Knee-jerk, post,
yeah, and,
share.
And then somebody like me does looks further and goes, no, this is why you're wrong, and furthermore.
Yeah.
So you can save yourself if you don't do that. Because fake news publishers exploit the tendency of the writing of the beginning of the story in a straightforward way. That's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to following with the lead.
Right.
And I really, they bury the details.
Well, they call it clickbait.
Yes, it's clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to be baiting, it won't be with clicking. So get past the headline.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, now you know. Finished. Check what news outlet. Joe with his Dan Rather puss on.
I don't. I mean, very seriously. I mean, it's you get to a point sometimes you don't know whether to add because you're not really adding. I mean, read past the headline because basically you have a tendency to look at it and you know and jump right in. But sometimes you look at it now and go, all right, stop.
Yeah.
Let's look at. That's why I'm saying because it's. You
I
know,
wasn't commenting that you weren't saying anything. I was just commenting on your serious face while me and Pipper are joking about.
Because
clickbait.
It's a darn good article. It really is.
Okay, check out what news outlets publish. Oh, how much have I talked about these stupid blogs, which aren't news outlets, where some creep in his basement or in Russia or Eastern Europe that we've talked about on the air?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everything is created equally. And the same thing too. If it's from the Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. chances are it has a right bias. If it's from the Washington Post, chances are it has a liberal bias.
Right.
You know what you have going in.
Chances are if it's from conservatives today, you need to look. Now, I'm a conservative, but you got to look at it and decipher if they're what point they have and if they're on point. So
oh,
you have to look.
Get the point pretty quickly.
Well, you can, but you got to decipher.
Obama's a Kenyan. Okay, go on.
But you also need to know, just because it says conservatives
but even if you're conservative today,
skinhead?
You go, absolutely, absolutely, really, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, you know,
well,
you have to look.
I'm glad that you get to the really. Unfortunately, many of your brethren go, it all makes sense to me. It's all good. So, anyway, many fake news sites will outright say that they are satire or don't contain factual information, like The Onion.
Right.
But others are made to mimic major news outlets. You have to check the URL, names of the pages that look suspect, making sure that it's not a hoax site that is pretending to be a
source. Yeah, if you look at the headline and go, Pope visits Trump Tower, you know, don't go under and go, I told you so. Yeah. Chances are.
The Pope's really backpedaling on him, isn't he? Say, Googling a site's name and checking out other articles it posts should also help you determine. Yeah, you know, if it's all Obama's the devil or Trump is Satan, you got a good idea what they think.
Yeah.
check to publish date and time. Yes, people so much, like, you see this a lot with dead celebrities. Like, a celebrity died, like, 3 years ago. But somebody just discovered it now, and they posted it on Facebook.
Oh, it's like, oh, my God. I saw that a couple of... Oh, my God. What happened? And it was 3 years ago. Yeah.
What happened? You haven't been checking the news. That's
Winston Churchill's been dead since 65.
But it says he just died now. No, it doesn't.
No.
Winston Churchill's dead?
Yeah.
So they do this on purpose. They may have these articles resurface to make you start arguing about stuff that doesn't matter. It might have already been settled.
Right.
So look out for that. Who is the author? This is very good. Listen, if it's by Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow,
mm-hmm.
chances are you know their point of view.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have that slant.
Right, and it's more of an op-ed piece than it is hard-hitting actual news, just factual. It has their opinion behind it.
And besides that, you can also find out if they have a history of posting other hoaxes.
Yes.
Everybody has a track record. Look at what links and sources are used. A lack of links or sources for claims in an article is an obvious warning sign that the post is likely false. Fake sites may also provide numerous links to sites that appear to back up their claims. Never noticed. But are themselves spreading misinformation. Check to see that the claims supported by links actually come from reliable sources. And this is why I get annoyed where I said a little while ago, facts are dead, because
mm-hmm.
people will say all news sources are equal.
No, they're not.
I know people like to say whatever they want about CNN, but they're a news organization.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. When I was doing Anthony Cumia's show, we're watching where the results come in, and there were precincts that CNN was releasing before Fox, and Fox was releasing before CNN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just on what agenda that they had. Because we could, because we were watching everything concurrently, and it was kind of interesting
wait for
to see
Karl Rove to weigh in, and then I know he's my compass. Look out for questionable quotes and photos. It's incredibly easy for fake news writers to invent false quotes, even attributing them to major public figures.
Mm-hmm.
Be skeptical of shocking or suspicious quotes, but you know with Trump, it takes it off the table because he says shocking before pre-Trump. Your average politician would not say ridiculous things.
And now you're not really sure.
Now you're president-elect. He's saying ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take it for what it's worth. And search to see if they've been reported elsewhere. Likewise, it's easy to take a photo from one event and say it's another.
Yes.
They did this a lot with Hillary.
Yeah.
With her fake illness and on death's door.
I was just going to use that as an example.
Images can be altered. They did this with her, too, saying that she was mic'd weirdly, mm-hmm. like she was being fed answers. They did that a lot with Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Search. Beware of confirmation bias. People are often drawn to stories that reinforce the way they see the world and how they feel about certain mm-hmm. issues. We've talked about that before.
So they're just confirming what you already thought.
Yeah, that's why people on the left who will go to the Daily Coast and they'll post a bunch of stuff about that. That's a left wing site. I really, mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying before. If you see something like that, you read it and go. Yeah, maybe. No, maybe. All right, good point. No, you know, you have to decipher
but
that.
But there are people that just go to that, just like they just go to Breitbart or Newsmax.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take it seriously.
Right.
Those to me are not. I know it's harder and harder to find objective journalism. Mm-hmm. I know it is, but it's out there. And you have to find. Like on this show, it's obviously Pip and I. We lean left, and Joe obviously leans right.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about things, we try to be objective about it.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because basically you have the more left-leaning views and your points. Mm-hmm. I have my more conservative views and my points, and we try to meet in the middle with them. And I mean, there are some points where you'll concede, some points I'll concede. But that's the whole thing, because everything just seems so biased right now. And the whole thing that... There's fake news. Remember when the news was the news?
Yes.
And it was three channels. It was the news and it was real. Now it's with the internet. You don't know where you're getting stories, what to believe, what not to believe.
Absolutely.
And it translates over to the regular, mainstream channels.
So some people are listening to this go, well, he quoted the Huffington Post. It's a liberal thing. Listen, about the Huffington Post. Yes, there was a lot of opinion pieces on there
mm-hmm.
that are liberal. There's no.
Wow, is there ever?
There is.
Yeah,
I know. Going in. But there's also a lot of real news on there.
Yes.
You have to be able to differentiate. Unlike Breitbart, which is predominantly opinion.
Yeah.
It's opinion posing as news. There's a difference, and this story helps you determine it no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's important to check that news stories are based in fact rather than sharing them because they support one side of an argument or bolster pre-existing political beliefs. You see that a lot online.
And you always say, with their beliefs. Like, look, I watch Fox News. I always try to listen between the both. And, yeah, I listen to Fox News. But when Mike Huckabee comes on, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So you have to decipher. You really need to decipher and make your own decisions.
Well, when it's a liberal on Fox News, they're about to lose.
Or they're out of time.
Yeah. That's just the way those arguments are going.
Come on, come on, come on.
That's why I like Morning Joe on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough. Because they try to have, it's a liberal, it's known as a liberal station, mm-hmm. but it's hosted by a Republican,
mm-hmm.
former
right.
Republican conservative, and they have a lot of different views. That's why I like that show.
Right.
A little plug for them, like they need it.
And they needed it from us.
I'm sure they'll reciprocate. Search if other news outlets are reporting it. If a story looks suspicious or claims to reveal major news, search to see if other news outlets are also reporting the story. A single article from a suspicious source making a grand claim should be viewed with heavy skepticism. Yes, it should. If no reliable news outlets are also reporting the story, that's where it's likely fall. But that's the problem now. A lot of people have been trained to go, well, the only reliable news outlet is my reliable news outlet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you saw that this year from the right with CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liken it to, like, the national broadcasters that are doing the World Series. They aren't the home team broadcasters. So you'll hear the American League fans complaining about the broadcasters. They're biased against us. And you'll hear the National League fans play. But it's like, no, this is just what it is. It's CNN. They have liberal. They certainly have liberals. And they have conservatives. They had a lot of conservatives
mm-hmm.
on there arguing for Trump.
Right.
You just take it all in.
What I'll do is when I listen to, I listen to Fox News. I listen to it a lot. However, I'll go over to CNN. If there's like a major story, I'll go over to CNN for 20 minutes, you know.
That's
20
all you can stand. 20 then your skin starts to crawl.
But then I
want to
eat.
Blood pressure,
you know,
going
up. It's, you know, but it all boils down. It's their side, and the truth. So yeah. You listen to Fox News for 20 minutes. Okay. You go over to what are they saying about it? And you try to make your own decision because somewhere in the middle is the truth.
I like to finish with Fox News because they have the hottest girls. That's how I like to go.
Yes. And he does finish.
Yes. Well, that's why I finish
yes,
with Fox
of course.
News. Think before you share. Fake news sites rely on readers to share and engage with their articles in order for them to spread. In extreme cases, these fake articles can balloon out of control and have unintended consequences for those involved in the stories. We saw that this year with the election.
We sure did.
After fake news stories claimed that Hillary Clinton was sexually abusing children at a Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant, the business owner and his employees received death threats and vicious online harassment. The staff is still under attack, even though these false claims have been debunked. And that's really when people take this fake news to the extreme.
But the story is ridiculous.
But people use that. Go, aha!
Yeah.
Because it goes back to the confirmation bias.
She went to get a slice and more. You know,
how many toppings can I put on the child? Yeah.
But the people who read things like that and believe them, it's kind of like people who think that soap opera stars are evil. You know what I mean?
Mm. No. Comics in the News when we come back. So we touched on Carrie Fisher last week, I believe. I believe we mentioned that she recently passed.
Yes, we did.
But you know what? The great thing about America is nobody really gets to rest in peace. There's there's always time for outrage.
Of course.
And people got outraged with some things that happened post being alive. Is that a way to say that?
Post being alive?
Yes, that was my non-graceful way of saying that.
All okay.
Right. Well, comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
So Steve Martin, who's a contemporary
yes.
of Carrie Fisher's, posted tweeted because mm-hmm. that's the best way to convey any message. Tweeted after she passed. This is Steve Martin. When I was a young man, Carrie Fisher. She was the most beautiful creature I had ever seen. She turned out to be witty and bright as well. What's your reaction to that?
See, I guess I went against the grain. I consider myself a feminist, but I did not find that to be something offensive.
I don't think. I think a lot of people did not find
it. I didn't find it offensive at all.
Well, nobody's called you a beautiful creature.
How do you know?
I have my sources.
Wait, wasn't that just creature?
Yeah, creature.
Funny.
Different adjective.
Funny. Funny.
Call the police on this creature, I believe was the phrase. But
well, you had your suction cups against the window. What did you expect her to say?
With his tentacles. I said tentacles.
Thank you.
But I can understand why a feminist, if they really wanted to be redonkulous,
no!
would get upset, like referring to her beauty first.
Right.
I get it.
It's sort of minimizing her as a person down to just if she attractive or not.
He did call her witty and bright. He was
yes.
saying, you know, at first I was attracted to her physically.
Right.
But then I discovered she was so much more.
Well,
right.
How do you, you know, when I was a young man, Carrie Fisher, she was the most beautiful creature I've ever seen. Beautiful in looks. She could be beautiful in personality as well.
That's true, but I think that's taken away by she turned out to be witty and bright as well. I think that speaks to her personality.
Well, he was saying I'd ever seen, so he was talking visual at first.
Right.
But, I mean, that's how all human beings encounter one another.
Sure.
First, we see each other, and then we get to see what the person is behind the actual physicality. And so, if you're looking to be upset, I mean, she was particularly strong feminist. So I think that, you know, people making the point, well, you know, you're reducing her down to what she looked like physically. And that was something that she talked about and fought against. But come on.
But to get upset about, you could see in the way Steve Martin wrote his compassion and innocence on the way he felt about her.
Yeah.
You know, and for so,
I think you can find something offensive in there. If you want to.
Yes.
But I don't think, as Joe said, it seems like he really deeply cared about
you could tell.
You're looking to be upset.
You could tell the compassion and you know, that he had there. And if you're looking to find to pick that apart, you know, you've got the problem.
Yeah.
In this instance,
it's
then,
like you're projecting your own agenda onto his phrase,
and to something that, you know, to somebody that knew her, was a contemporary, that, you know, as we all felt, we felt horrible about her passing, and he was being very compassionate, and he was being sensitive about, you know, in his way about it. And to sit there, you know, really, shut up.
Well, Steve Martin did delete it.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have.
I don't think he should have either.
I think by deleting it, he only emboldens the social justice warriors and the cyberbullies.
Yes.
I think Steve Martin should have weathered the storm on this one. If he wanted to put a follow-up tweet and explain himself a little bit better or put out a statement, that's fine.
Maybe he looked at it like he didn't want the story to become about him.
And I agree with you. I think he pulled that back because he go, you know, I was just I don't want to make a big thing. Let me just pull it.
Yeah, but it was already a big thing.
You know
and
what?
And then once he deleted it, it became a bigger thing.
Yeah, but you want to know something? I don't want to make, you know, he probably felt, look, I don't want to make a gender about it. She was a lovely woman. She passed away. I'm just going to pull the dang,
see,
dang
he's,
thing.
He's got to focus on what our president-elect does. You send that one angering tweet, everybody complains. You don't apologize. You don't delete. You follow up with a different angering
double
tweet.
Down.
On a different topic.
Oh, true.
That's what you do.
Distract.
Sure. That's what our genius president-elect does. Steve Martin needs to follow that. But this wasn't the end of the social justice problems, social media problems. Let's see. Where was it? Okay. This is by Cinnabon. Cinnabon put out a picture and a tweet which has been deleted, which read, "R.I.P. Carrie Fisher, you'll always have the best buns in the galaxy." Because if you remember, in Star Wars, she had buns on the side of her head.
Yes.
That was the famous Princess Leia hairdo.
Yes.
So they put the little Cinnabons there. And she actually compared that style to Cinnabons.
Right.
She'd actually made that comparison. But, you know, they got shamed. They put apology. Our deleted tweet was genuinely meant as a tribute, but we shouldn't have posted it. We are truly sorry.
That lacked total common sense of all. Common sense at all to post that. I mean, what are they thinking?
But that says about our society. I mean, was it? Do you think it was being exploitive?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It was crass.
Absolutely.
Was it? Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's just it's trying to like bang their drum over a passing of a beloved star.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so sorry you're dead. Check out our product.
Right. Now, like I said, when Steve Martin posted what he posted, he was being very sincere and compassionate.
Yeah.
You know, that's Cinnabon was not.
No.
They're trying to push their product.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I know, Carrie Fisher had a good sense of humor. You think she would have been all right with it?
I think that she would have found it darkly humorous, but I think that it was crass to do that on the day that she died.
So
really?
An intern got fired.
Yes.
Yes.
Essentially,
oh, yeah.
So yeah. You think they were right to take it down and apologize?
Yes. 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 They had to. It was wrong.
So Steve Martin, wrong to take it down. Cinnabon, right to take it down.
No, I have Steve Martin. Like I said, Steve Martin, I understood why he would have. He didn't want to grandstand around something at a death of a beloved star. And I think he didn't want to make an agenda of it. So if he pulled it... yeah, it's you know, he didn't want to, you know, it's not the time or the place to start grandstanding about something.
Yeah, it's like he's going to make that his line in the sand about her death now.
All right, Drunks in the News when we come back. Drunkies in the News. That's what we will do right now. It's a good segment. Why not?
Excellent.
Look at me, Pat. Yeah, it's a damn fun.
Excellent.
But first, we'll start with, as soon as I find the stupid track. Oh, I stink on ice.
So glad he says those things.
All right, we'll play some Drunks in the News, then we'll get into this.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
Our Benjamin Franklin drinking term for this segment of Drunks in the News is, if you're drunk, Benjamin Franklin would say, "He's got a dish." I don't know what that means.
Dish?
I guess it's full of booze.
I don't understand.
He's lapping it out of a shallow bowl.
Maybe because you were so drunk, you're holding your mug and you're spilling it. And maybe you're holding a dish. under it to
catch. That's being really
the
generous to try to figure this out.
I'm giving it a shot.
I think that a lot of these, he was just like.
Was drunk.
He was drunk. He was brainstorming in the pub.
And he's like a founding father. Us, we're lapping up. Genius, I
say. Genius, I say.
He's like, he's got a dish.
Well, he's just a drunk at the end of the bar, and he's just spouting off stuff, and somebody's writing it down because he's Benjamin Franklin.
Right, and then they read it the next morning, and they're like, what the hell are we talking about?
Dish. I don't know. Write it down. It might mean something funny. All right. So a new study conducted by the University of Oxford has discovered that for men, going out for a few pints isn't just fun. It's downright essential. In fact, according to this report, us dudes have to go out twice a week by necessity, Pip. We have to, damn you.
I got my 2 days in.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
The study in question was conducted by Robin Dunbar, a psychologist and director of Oxford University's Social and Evolutionary Neuroscience Research Group. Dunbar has determined that men must physically meet with 4 friends 2 times a week in order to reap the benefits of male friendship.
This guy's a rum hound.
Yeah. This guy's a sensitive. No, honey, I did a study.
Right, exactly. That's
if
why I wrote this.
If you love me, you'll let me go.
Yeah. But he's mathematically figured out exactly how many times a week and how many men have to be involved in the ritual for it to be therapeutic.
Yes, he says benefits of these strong male friendships include a stronger immune system, the release of endorphins, and an overall decrease in anxiety levels, and apparently even higher levels of generosity. Yeah, you're drunk. Yeah. You're buying everybody around.
You always want your dolphins released, too, so that's good.
Dunbar goes as far as to recommend guys do stuff while they socialize. That's just her name, Stuff.
Yeah.
And that going bar crawling for a night reinforces a sense of teamwork and camaraderie. Bonds can be formed. Yeah, sure. Somebody's got to hold your hair while you pee.
It's team building.
She's a pig, dude. That's a team.
Wow.
What?
I thought that was called a train.
Let me tell you something. This guy, his friends went to him, look, they're not letting us out of the house. You're a professor. Why don't you write a paper saying that it's cool for us to go out?
Dude, and you got to do it.
Well, I don't know. You got to do it for
dude,
us.
Dude, write it.
Here's the paper.
Yes. Do you know he drinks for free every day?
Yeah, exactly.
According to the same study, only 1 in 3 men in the United Kingdom can't find the time to meet with their friends once a week. And 40% of men are only able to make a guy's night a weekly affair. Despite spending 20% of their day interacting through other means, all of which can be done on smartphone, men need to meet face-to-face to keep their friendship strong, Dunbar suggests, and a few pints or a good chat is a perfect way to do it. I can't do this.
Why?
I don't have. First of all, I don't have four male friends to hang out with.
He made like a gesture with his eyeballs towards upstairs in his house.
Can you do this?
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah,
yeah, you can do this.
I do have to wonder though. I mean, what are the chances that these men that can do this have a significant other in a relationship?
I think that a lot of them have a significantly large liver in this relationship.
Well, they have a significant other, and until this paper came out, now they didn't have a reason to get away with it.
Right. It's science, woman!
Yeah.
Back in here! You didn't take off the truck!
There was a study! There was a study!
I don't believe that crap!
There was! Read it, Oxford, you know!
All right. Trump's speech on Inauguration Day. Last segment. Oh, the clock is a-ticking, and soon Donald Trump will be the president of these United States.
Yay!
About covers the spectrum of really every action.
Well, we all stayed at our sides.
Eloquent as usual.
Yes. They can't have everybody thinking the same thing.
So supposedly he's going to be speaking. That's supposed to be a fairly brief speech because he said he doesn't want to keep people out there in the cold. That's very nice of him.
I think so.
He said the topics of one. Also, he's only used to speaking in 140 characters. How many tweets can you string together? But the topics are said to include education system, infrastructure, border security, the state of the military, the economy, and the outsourcing of jobs. Boris Epstein, a spokesman for Trump's inauguration committee, previewed a more optimistic address from Trump and Miller than what was delivered at the summer's convention. They'll be talking about uniting America, bringing Americans together. We are now in the post-politics, post-campaign season that are messaging around this. I'm not even going to touch that. Yeah, sure they are. I'm expecting a great address that talks to Americans about dreaming big, about making sure that we are all sitting on the Hill one more time. Brinkley said Trump recognized the importance of the speech and, more importantly, recognized that it'll be a major ratings draw. Of course he did. You think, stupid.
Is he the executive producer?
It's the inaugural.
All Trump. You know he's comparing it to other ones. You know he's got his eye on Obama in 08. That's the one he wants to be. Of course. Fortunately, we are known for our investigative reporting and our journalism. We actually got a copy of this. Of Donald Hammer. He's not doing this really with speech writers. So we got a little taste of what you guys can expect to hear in a few short weeks. Folks, for years their jobs have been outsourced to places like Mexico, Indonesia, and China. I know, my company does it. That all changes now. Now that I beat my enemies and became president with one tweet, I can make bad companies stock tumble and shame them into keeping jobs here. It's true. Also, folks, if the unions would stop fighting the companies for things like benefits and higher wages, companies wouldn't have to move overseas. We're going to make wages so low and cut regulations like safety that companies are going to be rushing to set up shop in America. We're going to beat China at their own game. We're going to win bigly, and let's be honest, folks, China only had that one thing that was big, and that was Yao Ming. Loser. And they are little people. The Mexicans aren't very big either. There are a lot of small people in the world. Have you ever been on It's a Small World in Disney World? Great ride. We take Baron on the ride when we stay at my top-notch property, Mar-a-Lago. So that's Trump's take on outsourcing of jobs.
Very nice.
Yes. I can totally hear him saying this.
I feel united. Pip?
During my excellent presidency, we're going to concentrate on education reform. We're going to take a strong, hard look at education. I've heard from many people that teachers are not doing a good job. So we're going to really look at education. Because, you know, when you go to schools and talk with the teachers, you can see that they aren't doing a good job. So we have to work on education.
You sound like Bernie Sanders.
They're both from Queens.
My curriculum will use...
Chick, leave her alone.
All right.
My curriculum will use only the best words and the best numbers. I know that a lot of students...
Really? You're going to scold me? Really?
Sounds good to me. All right.
I know that a lot of students now either speak Spanish or are learning Spanish, but we have enough Spanish here already, okay? The Spanish teachers are failing, and we're going to take a long, hard look at that failing system. You know, as our ties to other markets form, we should be teaching other languages, like China and Russian. That will improve education bigly.
Joe, what'd you steal?
On the borders, we will now build that wall, and we will do it bigly, and I will use two of the most famous pigs in the world. First, the third little pig. He displayed that things can be built sturdy and strong by using brick, and he will display it again by building our wall and in brick. For the second most piggy, I will use New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Yes, he thought I wasn't going to use him, but it's going to be great. If he could stop thousands of people from getting into New York over a bridge from Jersey in rush hour, he could stop millions from getting across the border. Now, the economy is very important. I'm going to have Mr. Slade of the Bedrock Rock Quarry and Mr. Spacely of Spacely Sprockets work on renewed economic prosperity. Both are proven men of business and want results are not afraid to fire people. Just ask Fred Flintstone and George Jetson. And I'm going to have the Kool-Aid pitcher guy to assist as well, as he helps so many of our young people start a business with his product.
Oh, yeah.
And with his new appointment, he knows he can't come through the wall because our balls are going to be strong. So strong, folks. So strong.
Pip?
We're going to take a long, hard look at this country's infrastructure. I have a huge new plan to take care of roads and bridges. They will all be built with the best materials. We will build huge new buildings and bridges because, you know, the old ones are just broken. It's all just broken, and people tell me that we have a huge need for new roads, and I'm going to fix all of the roads because they are broken. Huge new plans for buildings because, you know, I know how to build. We're going to have the best roads and buildings, huge buildings and bridges.
Joe, you got anything else?
No, I don't.
All right. Listen, folks, the military's been a disaster. Am I right? I know about building things. It's what I do. I'm a builder. I've been talking to the generals, not the ones I know more than, because quite frankly, they've been terrible. We're going to build a fleet of new aircraft carriers. They'll be huge. Each aircraft carrier will be able to carry more planes and, as importantly, will feature a Trump golf course and a Trump hotel.
That's cool.
Because our troops deserve the best. Am I right, folks? Well, not the ones who get captured. I like soldiers who don't get captured.
Oh!
We're not going to put our soldiers all over the world if it doesn't meet my, I mean our, interests. I've been talking to my good buddy Vladimir. Great guy, by the way. The best. And he's assured me that Russia will keep peace and democracy across the world. In return, I have agreed 3 times a year to fly to Moscow to ride topless on the back of Putin's horse with him. I'm a good negotiator, people. It's a win-win. Topless. Another win for Trump. I mean us.
Topless.
Sure.
That's a picture I'm not going to get out of my mind really easily.
Well, I am looking forward to this inauguration.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the speech will be any different than what we said.
As a matter of fact, no, not very much at all.
Sounds very good. All right. Monday, January 9th, I'll be at the Stand in New York, New York on the 7:30 show. So if you're in the Manhattan, make sure you come and check it out. Always go to davinsden.com to listen to the full unedited version of the show. Parts of the show you guys don't hear. It's a lot of show. You guys really should check it out. Go to Facebook, Davin's Den Facebook. Like us. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. Interact with us. We always like to hear from the folks.
Yes.
We respond back bigly.
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 We do.
Hugely.
It's going
to be great.
Yes. But, alas, we must go. So if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.